This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by, should we call him Senator, Ambassador, or maybe Coach, Coach Scott Brown from the Amesbury girls basketball team. Coach, thanks. Welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, of course. It's great to be on, Bill.
Well, Coach, it's great to have you on here, and I think we should take our listeners back. We want to talk about this season, kind of an interesting season, in a moment, but former Massachusetts senator, former ambassador, and now girls basketball coach at Amesbury High School. So take our listeners through this process a bit about how this all came about.
Well, first of all, I grew up playing basketball. I went to Wakefield, coached by two Hall of Fame coaches. As you may or may not remember, my parents are married and divorced four times each. I was arrested at 12, and it was basketball that saved my life. Basically, Judge Zoll out of Salem District Court had me write a 1,500-word essay how I let my parents and my brothers and sisters down and how they would not like to see me play basketball in jail. And I had to write a 1,500-word essay, and that changed my life, gave me a second chance. So it's always been something that's been a grounding mechanism for me. But I played at Wakefield, MVP, all that, all scholastic, all that fun stuff, and then went to Tufts as a captain there. My daughter, Ayla, as you know, coached her. She committed at 15 to Boston College. So it's always been in our lives. But coached before I went to New Zealand in Rye at the junior high, and then I came back, coached again, and we were undefeated, and I'm like, okay, what's next? So looking around, obviously Amesbury has got a great basketball history. State champs 22-4 last year, but the coach left. They graduated five starters, all double figured, all have scholarships or are still playing, and we have a very young team, and knew what I was getting into, and here we are.
Scott, was your Wakefield coach Sonny Lane? Is that who your coach was?
Yeah, Sonny Lane. Yeah, the legendary Sonny Lane and Brad Simpson. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh! So I know both of them, and both are terrific coaches. On top of being great people, so that's fantastic. I did not know that. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, well, they were in my life at a point. I mean, God, Brad Simpson, he named his kid Scott. I mean, that's how close we were, and. I used to go over there and they used to feed me. I used to borrow his clothes. I used to babysit for Sonny Lane because, I was, my household was not the most stable in the world. And they recognized that I needed some guidance and, forever. I still speak to them after every game. Coach Simpson calls me. Okay, what's up? He says, hang in there. You knew what you were getting into. He's been a great mentor, and so is Sonny. I met him before the season. We speak almost every day as well.
Oh, wow. This is terrific. All right. I love those two guys. They're fantastic. Our website, a few years ago, we did a lot with Brad, and years ago, I would run into Sonny, and I know he's the Hall of Fame stuff. He's just a fantastic coach and former AD over at Melrose, too, later on in his career. So, yeah.
Well, he was quite an athlete, as you know. He quite a baseball player and obviously basketball player. And I've taught everything that I've learned is from them. And then I had John White at Tufts, and he just great coaches. And it's been an honor to basically pass that on to not only my daughter and others, but these young ladies as well.
I know you tweeted something about Judge Zoll the other day, and I've been on the North Shore now for 40 years, or actually over 40 years, and he's a legendary judge in the city of Salem, and a legendary name in the city of Salem. So tell me more about that little connection. I think you touched on it, but tell me more about that.
Yeah, well, I was troubled, and I got caught stealing records up at the Liberty Tree Mall back in the day, and I got caught, and I went before Judge Zoll, and as you may or may not know, back then, you could go into judges' chambers by yourself. So I remember going in, and he was like 6'5". He had a house full of boys, and he understood sports and kids, and we had a nice talk, and my mom is yelling and screaming out in the lobby, and, he kind of got it and asked me about sports and life and challenged me to do better. And it's funny, I remember it like it was yesterday, because when he was passing from pancreatic cancer and I was a U.S. senator, he called me, he said, listen, I'd like to have you come to my house. And it was the first time, it was like a complete circle. I went to his house and I said, Judge, why me? Like, why did you give me that chance? to Scott, I got to be honest with you. I tried it with like 12 other kids. It didn't work. You were the last one. And I remember though, when one day the clerk comes into my chambers and says, "Judge, remember that tall kid with the long hair? You know, he wants to know if it can be handwritten because he doesn't have a typewriter, and can he print it because his cursive isn't really that good, and can he use the margins?" And he knew right then that I took it seriously, and I was able to go in after I did it, and we spoke for about a half an hour, and he basically just challenged me to be and do better in life and family and kids, and I'll tell you, I owe him my life. He's just an amazing, amazing man.
Yeah, and I actually did meet him years ago. You're right, he is tall and obviously, you know, a legend in the city of Salem for sure, and now beyond, obviously, yeah.
Yep.
All right, so Scott, now, I mentioned earlier, I think maybe off air, but you've won more elections than basketball games this year anyways. but tell us about this season with Amesbury girls basketball.
Well, I'm 19-2 in the election cycle, so yes, that would be nice, being 19-2 in the basketball season. But listen, I knew what I was getting into, and so did the athletic director. We knew it was going to be an absolute rebuilding year. I have one senior returning, and you know, the second half of the season she's come on strong, and then I have seven freshmen, and one with two sophomores and one junior. So we have a lot of hope. We've been in almost every game, and we have the fifth toughest schedule in the state. And with the new ranking system, even though we've only won one game, we're 1-18. If we win another game, we're in the tournament based on our strength of schedule. I mean, we played Tewksbury and Peabody and you know, all these Division One and Two schools, and we're a Division Four school with 432 kids in the school. So, but the good news is that they haven't quit. They work hard every game. We're in it, and I tell you, the best testament is that when the athletic director comes to me, and also other coaches from other teams come to me and say, "You know what? You guys may not be the most talented, but after the game, we know we played you. I mean, your girls to the last second are scrapping and diving and pressing and you know, just all over the court." And so they have massive, massive hearts, and they're hungry, and they're listening, and they're learning. All that stuff that Brad Simpson and Coach Lane taught me is being conveyed to them, and I'm very excited about next year because we got some great eighth graders coming up and great seventh graders, and I'm actually substituting in the junior high to make sure that, you know, I can see them and tell them that we're excited to have you so they don't go to Central Catholic or Essex Tech or, you know, some of those other schools, Pingree or whatever. So that's what's going on, and honored to coach them, and looking forward to, you know, the season wrap up in the summer.
You know, Scott, one of the things that we have listeners from all around the North Shore, and they may not know the history of Amesbury basketball, but you touched on it very briefly. But I mean, the basketball team has been fantastic over the last decade or so, and the softball team is the same thing. They've been incredible the last decade or so. So maybe just share a bit more on that. So this is a kind of a blip, as you're pointing out, in Amesbury girls basketball.
Yeah, well, listen, the boys have only won one game as well. The difference is while we lose by 15 to 20, the boys are losing by 40 to 60. So, you know, everything comes in cycles. They were 22-4 last year. They were loaded, wonderful, amazing young lady, 1,000-point scorers, you know, the whole nine yards. A lot of them, I think all of them are either playing for softball or basketball. But I have, you know, one of my captains is the captain of the softball team. I mean, she's a softball player. And then I have another one who is in another soccer, captain of the soccer team. So in terms of pure basketball players, I maybe have two, maybe three. But they're learning, they're listening. And usually when you have one win or no wins or two or three wins, the team quits. And that is couldn't be further from the truth there. I mean, last night we played Manchester Essex, win in the first quarter, down one in the second quarter. Third quarter really close, and then, you know, listen, the fact that I have two starters out injured, and, you know, I had to put in some young ladies, freshmen who play JV and don't have a ton of experience, you know, caught up with us. But, you know, at the end, the coach is like, "Man, you had us going. We were getting nervous." And I said, yeah, listen, wait till next year." So
yeah, and they've done very well this year, the Manchester girls. So now you have one more game left, and still a chances for the tournament, right?
Yeah. You can't make that up. I know it's crazy, but yeah, listen, that's the way the new rankings. The MIAA, you know, that's how they wanted to do it, and that's fine. And the difference is, listen, I came in almost at the 10th hour. You know, they were looking for a coach, and the process took, you know, a couple of months. And so when I got in, you know, the program was really, I don't want to say non-existent, but it really kind of, you know, upside down a little. They didn't know where they were going, who they were getting or anything. And so this year coming up, I mean, I'll have a chance to, you know, do summer camps and get them in summer leagues and get them on a training program and then, you know, work on the schedule myself and then get a proper coaching staff, everything. So it'll be a lot different, and we're very excited. But we still had to, we got Auto Fair to sponsor us. They gave us a $5,000 check. They believe in what we're doing, and that's enabled the girls, us to get some training equipment that's badly needed and other, you know, things that we're looking forward to them using and developing over the summer. And, you know, it's all good. It's all looking positive, and it's really wonderful, wonderful people in Amesbury for sure.
Yeah. So tell us more about what Scott Brown is doing now. I mean, it sounds like this basketball thing has taken up a lot of time as you would expect at this time of year. But what do you have planned, you know, in the months ahead?
Well, I'm on a bunch of boards. You know, obviously, and that's what I do. Obviously, a lot. I'm on TV and radio with whether it's CNN or Newsmax or Fox or, you know, whatever, doing the political commenting. And I have a rock band, Scott Brown and the Diplomats. You can go to scottbrown-diplomats.com. We play all over the place. We're playing in Wally's like five or six times, Hampton Beach, Salisbury Beach. We do outdoor, you know, weddings. It's been last year we had made a ton of money and had a great, great time and very professional, obviously. And yes, the basketball is important. It takes up between the scouting and the film work. And, my wife is like, how much are you getting paid for this? And when are we going on vacation? I actually booked a trip to Mexico, and I told my wife, I said, honey, if we win a game, we're not going to Mexico. She was, yeah, are you kidding me?
Oh, man. And, of course, she's been very busy at the last, at least a year or so ago with the campaign up in New Hampshire. Yeah.
Yeah, listen, she is not a person who's going to sit back and complain, and she was doing just that. So she said, you know what, I'm not going to be one of those. I'm going to get out and try to make a difference. And she came in third out of 10, raised $1.4 million, and really raised the conversation. And, you know, it's funny, politics, you know, whether you like it or not, it's a necessary evil, and it's a blood sport. But I use the analogy of the Super Bowl when we played the Falcons. And I did see 80 for Brady, and it was really funny and very moving, and it brought back a lot of good memories, so I recommend people see it. But, you know, the Falcons, you know, they're winning 28-3. Oh, the party's over. The owner's on the sideline, and everything's great, great, great. But they forgot that the halftime takes a little longer, you know, and Brady's in the locker room. He's hydrating, telling everyone to eat, okay, relax, and, you know, we have another half. Well, that's like politics. You know, the first half is the primary. And, you know, yeah, congratulations, you won the primary, but that's not the deal. You got to win the whole thing. So what we do politically is we put out candidates that you know, are sometimes fringe candidates supported by the fringes of both parties, and they can't win in the general. They can't win the Super Bowl because they don't appeal to the general populace. And then as a result, you know, we have candidates, as you're seeing, some of them in Washington, that knucklehead out of Long Island, and others who, you know, Mitt Romney rightly called out, and that's what you get. And so that she said she's going to get involved, and I'm glad she did.
Yeah. Hey, so I want one last question with you here. So let me put it to politics. So, actually, let me make it a two-parter, though. Massachusetts Republican Party, which has been devastated here, and also just another quick observation on the national scene as well. So that's my ending two-parter.
Sure. Well, listen, I know Amy, the new head of the party. She's a wonderful woman. She was a big supporter of mine and vice versa. You find politics is like a pendulum. You know, it goes far left and far right, and then usually it goes, I believe, right of center, and there's a lot of still conservative people in Massachusetts, but they're out making a living. A lot of them stay home, and they don't get involved because they're afraid to be outed or, you know, ostracized or criticized, so they just do their thing, take care of their families. And I love Massachusetts. It's you know, I spent my whole life in Wakefield and in Tufts and then Wrentham. And you know, you need to get people involved, because if you don't, the process fails. And to the fact that you have such a lopsided Democratic delegation federally, state, and sometimes locally, I think is a disservice to the taxpayers, because then it's just a carte blanche to spend. And you see that happening not only locally, you know, when they're debating whether they should give back the tax break that I voted on when I was an elected official in Massachusetts, and like, oh, we can't give it back. Well, you have billions of dollars in reserve. Yeah, it's our money. It's not yours. And then local, nationally, yeah, listen, the process starts. We have these things, as I did last time, the Scott Brown No BS Backyard Barbecues, and I had 14 out of the 16 or 18 candidates to my house, spent $40,000 in hot dogs and beer, and we had everybody there. So the last one being Trump at a car dealership with 4,000 people at the very end. And there is a process, and you have good people who are considering it on our side. That would be Nikki Haley, obviously. You've got Pence and Pompeo and Rick and Tim Scott. You've got DeSantis. You know, I know every single one of them, and every single one of them would do a wonderful job. And the Democrats on their side, listen, there's no way Joe Biden's running. I know Joe Biden, and that's not Joe Biden. Okay, he's obviously using teleprompters and being, you know, handled with kid gloves and, you know, God bless him, but you know, who's the bench in the Democratic Party, and that's the question that they have to figure out. But you know, people need to get involved. This is our process, and you know, like it or hate it, this is what we do to get people to lead our country. And we need strong leadership right now, especially with what's going on with China and Russia and all the things that you're reading about.
You know, Scott, as I was thinking about doing this interview with you, I'm thinking of here you are, you've been a member of the United States Senate, and of course, I've also traveled all those Cape Ann League gyms over the years as well, and I'm struck by the contrast, but I'm enthused at your enthusiasm for doing what you're doing right now. I think it's exciting, and you know, I applaud you. It's a great story, I think.
Well, if someone said, hey, Scott, you could be vice president, or you could go continue to coach. Man, I coach in a second. You know, I love it that much. And as long as the girls our athletes are listening and learning and not quitting, you know, I'll stay till they kick me out. It's very rewarding. And more importantly, I'll tell you what, and for all your listeners, substitute teaching is exceedingly rewarding. I had a terrible day about a month ago, and then I was called in to do first grade, a substitute for first grade. And by the time I left, I had crowns and necklaces and bracelets, and my fingernails were painted, and the kids were giving me hugs, and it was just so uplifting. And then I do the middle school, and then it comes crashing down. No, I'm kidding.
It is funny. I transitioned to education, and I actually did sub at the elementary level, and you nailed that. That's what that's like, doing it at the elementary level. But hey, the other thing too, though, Scott, I think you could coach and be vice president. I don't see why you couldn't do both.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. It's been an honor to serve, you know, obviously, and you know, give back now, and you know, I have an opportunity to do something, you know, those bucket list things. You know, I want to learn how to play the guitar. Well, now I have a band. I play with Cheap Trick 7 times, Warrant, Firehouse, Alice Cooper, and you know, so you got to do things that you enjoy. And because I'm 63, I got another, 37 years left, and, you know, I want to live every day as if it's my last.
Perfect. Scott Brown, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck in the last game of the year, and we'll talk again soon, hopefully someday. But again, thanks so much for this, and it's great to hear your story.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good year. Bye-bye.
Yep. Take care. Scott Brown with us here, msonewsports.com.